Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Tracy McClure. Coming up today, as the countdown to his beatification gets into its last days, we remember Pope John Paul II's apostolic journey to the Holy Land and his commitment to seeking justice and peace for all in the land of Christ's birth. And for last-minute travelers to the beatification, we offer some tips for planning your trip. As we count down the last days to Pope John Paul II's beatification May 1st, we return to the Holy Land to remember John Paul's historic pilgrimage to the land of Christ's birth, death, and resurrection. Peace in the Holy Land was always an aspiration very dear to Pope John Paul II, who was particularly concerned about the continuous drain of the indigenous Christian community from the land of Christ's birth. Violence and economic difficulties have forced tens of thousands of them to flee abroad. Arab Christians now account for less than 2% of the population, where once they were a significant minority. Well, few will forget Pope John Paul's phrase, "What the Holy Land needs is not walls, but bridges," that captured the hearts and minds of people in almost every country where people are divided by conflict or hatreds. And in the very land where Christ walked, it was painful for Pope John Paul to see the physical wall of division being erected over the last few years. In the Jubilee year 2000, Pope John Paul finally fulfilled one of his greatest dreams, to walk the path of Jesus in the Holy Land. His apostolic pilgrimage to Bethlehem and Jerusalem was covered by the international media and seen by millions the world over, bringing a powerful message of solidarity with the local Christian community, but also one of dialogue and reconciliation between Christians, Muslims, and Jews.
This year of the 2000th anniversary of the birth of Jesus Christ, it has been my strong personal desire to come here and to pray in the most important places which from ancient times have seen God's intervention, the wonders He has done.
At the time, Latin Patriarch Michel Sabah of Jerusalem said the Pope came in 2000 with a long history of good relations with Muslims and Jews and solidarity with the local church in the Holy Land.
So all these factors give him a special solicitude for the Holy Land. And therefore he came as not only as a pastor of the church, religious leader, but bearing in his heart every inhabitant of this land, all the populations, though they are in conflict, but for him in his heart they were not in conflict. For him, he loved the Jews, he came loving the Jews, he came loving the Palestinians, he came loving all the churches, Catholics, Orthodox, and Protestants who are here in this land. And it is in this spirit that he delivered all his messages to all. And he was welcomed by all. Despite the word he said to the Jews was very well welcomed. The word he said to the Palestinians as well, and to the churches, of course. And everyone felt in him a friend, a man, a leader, who feels, who cares for them.
A frail and bent Pope John Paul spoke firmly to Israelis and Palestinians, Jews, Muslims, and Christians, of the need for justice and forgiveness for any real peace to take hold in the land holy to the three monotheistic faiths.
My journey, therefore, is a pilgrimage in a spirit of humble gratitude and hope that the origins of our religious history, it is a tribute to the three religious traditions which coexist in this land. I pray that my visit will serve to encourage an increase of interreligious dialogue that will lead Jews, Christians, and Muslims to seek in their respective beliefs and the universal brotherhood that unites all the members of the human family, the motivation and the perseverance to work for the peace and justice which the peoples of the whole land do not yet have, and for which they yearn so deep. Shalom.
Pope John Paul had gone to a holy land where a fragile peace still held, the people bursting with a new sense of hope. Hundreds of Palestinians, many of them Christians, had returned home after the Oslo Peace Accords to reinvest in their homeland, building hotels and refurbishing restaurants and shops in expectation of the throngs of pilgrims who were to come to the Holy Land during the Great Jubilee Year. But the peace Pope John Paul had prayed for so ardently was never to come during his lifetime. Just months after his Jubilee pilgrimage to the land of Christ, violence between Israelis and Palestinians erupted once again. Bishop Mark Coleridge was working at the Vatican Secretariat of State back at the turn of the new millennium. He was one of the people who helped organize the papal pilgrimage.
There are two moments particularly I will never forget. The first of them was at the Holocaust Memorial, Yad Vashem, in a kind of crypt, a very dark area with a black floor. And the black floor has on it the names of the death camps, Buchenwald, Dachau, Belsen, Auschwitz, and so on. So the Pope, at one point, having spoken, and with just the light on him, this figure in white, he moved across that dark floor with those dark names on a walking stick. And it was as if here was the Pope of Rome, burdened with 2,000 years of Christian history, which he was, and walking as a frail old man across that floor to greet Holocaust survivors. But somehow the image was more powerful because the Pope was frail.
One of those Holocaust survivors was Edith Zierer. When she was 13 in occupied Poland, Edith was wasting away from hunger when a young priest found her, gave her bread, picked her up in his strong arms, and carried her 25 miles to safety. That priest was Karol Wojtyła. The two met again decades later when Pope John Paul paid that historic visit to the Holocaust Memorial Yad Vashem in Jerusalem in the year 2000.
In the Israeli Jewish society, he made, I think, a kind of religious revolution. In the sense he gave when to the Jewish society, the Israeli Jewish society, when they saw him on the televisions, his figure, the spirit which he was inspiring by his words, by his only face even.
That visit to the Jewish State's memorial perhaps represented the culminating moment of Pope John Paul's 26-year endeavor to bring the Jews, whom he called our older brothers in the faith, in closer dialogue with the Catholic Church. It also came 6 years after the Pope oversaw the Holy See establish diplomatic relations with the State of Israel.
Many things have changed in relations between the Holy See and the State of Israel since my predecessor, Pope Paul VI, came here in 1964. The establishment of diplomatic relations between us in 1994 set a seal on efforts to open a era of dialogue on questions of common interest concerning religious freedom, relations between church and state, and more generally, relations between Christians and Jews. On another level, world opinion followed with close attention the peace process which finds all the peoples of the region involved in the difficult search for a lasting peace and justice for all. With newfound openness towards one another, Christians and Jews together must make courageous efforts to remove all forms of prejudice. And this at every level of attitude, every level of attitude, teaching and communication.
In his every action, the frail Pope John Paul drove that message across in the Holy Land.
I will never forget, and probably the greatest television image I've ever seen, was when the Pope was at the Western Wall and he placed the prayer, you'll remember, in the wall, as the Jewish people do. And then, instead of turning away immediately, he simply laid his shaking hand on the wall, and the camera caught the shaking hand of the Pope with the fisherman's ring. And again, it was the frailty of the hand, but the intensity of the prayer that made that such an unforgettable moment and such an unforgettable image. I found a path to
follow. Praying at the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem and following the Jewish custom, he placed a note between the stones in the wall, begging God's forgiveness for the sins of the church against the Jews.
God of our fathers, you chose Abraham and his descendants to bring your name to the nations. We are deeply saddened by the behavior of those who in the course of history have caused these children of yours to suffer. And asking your forgiveness, we wish to commit ourselves to genuine brotherhood with the people of the covenant. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
The act of forgiving and asking forgiveness were hallmarks of Pope John Paul's long pontificate, and he didn't hesitate to urge others to follow his example. For Pope John Paul, there could be no peace without justice, and no justice without forgiveness.
In the Arab world as well, all his speeches in the refugee camp, he touched what is essential in the sufferings of the Palestinians. And he told clearly that these sufferings have stayed too long. Everything must be done in order for these sufferings to stop.
And it was the theme of justice that ran through all his discourses in the Holy Land, especially in his visit to the Palestinian territories, where at the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem, he prayed at the site of the Christ child's birth.
People everywhere turn to this unique corner of the earth with a hope that transcends all conflicts and all difficulties. Bethlehem, where the choir of angels sang, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men. Bethlehem stands out in every place and in every age as the promise of God's gift of peace. The message of Bethlehem is the great news of reconciliation among men, of peace at every level of relations between individuals and nations. Bethlehem is a universal crossroads where all peoples can meet to build together a world worth of our human dignity and destiny.
Besides addressing the Palestinian people, Pope John Paul was speaking to President Yasser Arafat, who accompanied the pontiff on almost all of his stops in the Palestinian territories. The Palestinian president had often come to Rome, seeking Pope John Paul's ear on matters of peace and justice for his people. And in the year 2000, it was his turn to act as host.
Mr. Arafat, as I thank you for the warm welcome you have given me in the name of the Palestinian Authority and people, I express all my happiness at being here today. How could I fail to pray that the divine gift of peace will become more and more reality for all of who live in this land, uniquely marked by God's intervention. Peace for the Palestinian people. Peace for all the peoples of the region. No one can ignore how much the Palestinian people have had to suffer in recent decades. Your torment is before the eyes of the world, and it has gone too long. The Holy See has always recognized that the Palestinian people have the natural right to a homeland and the right to be able to live in peace and tranquility with the other peoples of this area. In the International Forum, my predecessors and I have repeatedly proclaimed that there would be no end to the sad conflict in the Holy Land without stable guarantees for the rights of the peoples involved on the basis of international law and the relevant United Nations resolutions and declarations. We must all continue to work and pray for the success of every genuine effort to bring peace to this land. Only with a just and lasting peace, not imposed, but secured through negotiation, will legitimate Palestinian aspirations be fulfilled. Only then will the Holy Land see the possibility of a bright new future, no longer dissipated by rivalry and conflict, but firmly based on understanding and cooperation for the good of all. The outcome depends greatly on the courageous readiness of those responsible for the destiny of this part of the world to move to new attitudes of compromise and compliance with the demands of justice.
Countless are the stories I've heard of Palestinian Muslims who turned out to pray and light candles for the Pope in the Holy Land's churches and public spaces when they heard of his death. In his traditional peace message, Pacem in Terris, Pope John Paul pointed to the Holy Land as holding the key to global peace on earth. Would that his dream for peace in Christ's homeland come true in our lifetime.
He put his root seeds in the soil of this land. And one day I think peace will flourish. And one of the roots, main roots of this peace will be his speeches and his visit to this land. One cannot say in which lifetime, but we hope that things are developing. There were times not far before 1988, in which no one, we who live all these sufferings, all these tragedies and so on, we could not imagine that one day there would be talks between Israeli and Palestinians. Then we entered a new phase, talks took place. Then we are every year or every two or three years, despite all the death, demolitions, etc., ideas are developing.
Former Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem, Michel Sabah, the head of the Catholic Church in the Holy Land, recalling Pope John Paul's lasting legacy to that part of the world. And now, are you one of the many pilgrims making last-minute plans to come to John Paul's beatification in Rome May 1st? Well, here's a travel tip to help you plan your trip. The Vicariate of Rome's travel organization, Opera Romana Pellegrinaggi, or ORP, has launched a new multilingual website that will help visitors plan their trip to Rome for the beatification of John Paul II, the city's bishop for 26 years. For practical information on getting to Rome and finding and booking accommodations, pilgrims can click on www.operaromanapellegrinaggi.org or www.jp2beatus.org. The site, available in English, Italian, and Polish, will offer Spanish and German editions as well. It also provides information on events planned around the beatification ceremony, real-time traffic updates, and press and multimedia areas. Like Vatican Radio, the site will also allow visitors to follow the major beatification events in live streaming. In addition, ORP offers the special JP2 Pass, including public transportation around the city, a package lunch, a map of Rome, ORP's double-decker bus tours of Christian Rome, and audio-guided visits to a number of Christian sites, health coverage, and exclusive deals and discounts. Well, Father Cesar Attuire runs ORP for the Vicariate of Rome. He told me it is important that pilgrims coming to Rome know that entrance to the Beatification Mass for John Paul II in St. Peter's Square is free.
There is no need to buy tickets to be able to assist at a Mass in the Vatican. I mean, it's never been done and it will not be done on this occasion. Entrance to religious celebrations in the Vatican are always free. And on this occasion, the Mass, taking part in the Mass or the vigil the evening before is free.
Usually, people can obtain tickets to papal events through the pontifical household. Tell us what happens in the case of the beatification of John Paul.
Now, the thing is, with regard to the beatification Mass, the papal house, the Prefettura della Casa Pontificia, has actually sent out a communique saying that entrance to St. Peter's Square and Via della Conciliazione will just be free. The gates will be open sometime early in the morning, I suppose around 5 a.m. in the morning, and whoever arrives. The whole area is full, and then they'll close the gate. So there are no tickets. First come, first serve.
Okay. So now your organization, ORP, you have a website now offering all-inclusive packages for the days surrounding the beatification on May 1st. Could you explain a little bit what they include?
Now, we have actually set up a few proposals, which are like packages that include a number of services, for people coming to Rome. Obviously, we take care of accommodation, we take care of transportation to come to Rome. Then, once people are actually in Rome, we have designed a special pass called the JP2 Pass, which allows people to be able to use the public transportation system here in Rome. On the day of the beatification, we will be offering like packed lunches for people who are out and about in town. We also offer like medical assistance and the possibility to visit like San Giovanni in Laterano and the Carcere Mamertino, St. Peter's Prison. Just offering a few services that will enable people to be able to take part during the days surrounding the beatification to have access to all the major services that are necessary in Rome.
How did you go about selecting the hotels and airlines participating in your packages?
Now, with regard to the airlines, we have written to all the major companies that fly to Italy, asking them to give us the availability of seats and, above all, to offer us very good prices that will enable a larger amount of people to be able to take part in the beatification. With regard to the hotels, we've been able to meet up with the Federation of Hotel Owners in Rome and the Lazio in order to come up with an agreement that these hotels will not raise prices and that they will also open up certain hotels a little bit outside town that are usually closed at this period of time to make sure that we increase the availability of beds and rooms for the pilgrims who will be coming. And all the hotels that actually agree to these conditions will have to sort of like have a little certificate that will be put outside the hotel saying that they agree to the ethical principles surrounding the beatification. That apart, we've also worked with the Regione Lazio and some kind of, tents, what we call the Villaggio dei Giovani, a youth village, will be open, one in Fiumicino and another in Civitavecchia, where there will be the possibility for young people to sleep in sleeping bags, but they have all the services, kitchen and everything.
And how would young people then get into the city?
Well, we have, we also have an agreement with ATAC and the metro system, and also Cotral, that is the regional company, and the regional train services, Ferrovia dello Stato. And during those days, they're going to increase the frequency of the number of buses and trains that will take people into Rome, so that, people who are a little bit on the outskirts of Rome can easily get to St. Peter's area or to the Circus Maximus.
And these, if people purchase one of your JP2 passes, they would have the transportation included?
Free. Yeah, the transportation and everything is included. Transportation to the center of Rome via ATAC, via Cotral, via train, and also via metro.
Now, pilgrims coming here to Rome will undoubtedly be living a spiritually enriching event while remembering and celebrating the life of their beloved Pope. But what are you expecting from these coming days? And can people actually begin their spiritual journey, would you say, at home before they even arrive in Rome?
I think so, and that, for me, is particularly important, really. This is not just an occasion to remember, but, it's an occasion to try and live the values and the spirit of John Paul II. Now, I know that a number of initiatives are being put up. The Vatican website is working on a collection of photographs and discourses of the Pope that will be available on the Vatican website. We are also producing material that we'll make available, even through the social networks, with certain excerpts of discourses from the Pope, so that people can begin to meditate and at least reflect and remember what John Paul II represented and what he lived for. And I think, all these things are absolutely necessary for somebody who's coming to Rome, so that they can actually start preparing themselves.
And a warm thanks there to Father Cesar Attuire, the CEO of the Vicariate of Rome's travel organization, Opera Romana Pellegrinaggi. Well, through the ORP website, pilgrims can also plan and reserve tours of the Vatican Museums and Rome's four major basilicas. And don't forget, as Father Cesar was saying, to help you prepare for your spiritual journey, the Vatican's websites, including Vatican Radio, are providing snapshots of Pope John Paul's most memorable photos, discourses, and writings for reflection, so don't miss out on them. And also, don't forget that Vatican Radio's website at www.vaticanradio.org will also be providing live streaming coverage of the Papal Beatification Mass, so be sure to catch that too. And did you know that John Paul II is also on Facebook and YouTube? That's right, the multilingual Vatican page is full of material to browse through, including one video of the Pope serving cake to Rome's poor, and another where he's donning a miner's helmet in South America. Some of the more unusual and lesser-known moments in the late Pope's life. I'm Tracy McClure. Thanks for listening. Laudator Jesus Christus.